This envelope contains certain material, which, in the wrong hands, could lead to the overthrow of my king.
Wow.
Mr. Morgan is with the protocol department, Columbo.
The feeling expressed to me is that you've been indulging in a personal vendetta.
Mr. Sala, I have made a discovery that you're going to find emotionally disturbing. I want you to be prepared for it.
Lieutenant Columbo is in violation of Swadian territory. Who's who, brah?
Columbo, wearing a dinner suit, is manhandled away by two guards. A black-gloved hand turns the combination wheel on a wall safe. A bearded man wearing Arab headdress stares at the safe with a determined expression. A younger man, also wearing Arab headdress and wire-rimmed glasses, looks on. The bearded man, Hassan, opens the safe and takes out a handful of papers. He hands an envelope to the younger man, Rahman, who lays it on a desk. Hassan lays the rest of the papers on the floor of the office and sets light to them. Hassan lets the papers burn for a while, then stamps on them. Rahman opens a small red box and Hassan takes it. He closes the safe door, twists the combination lock, and takes off his black leather gloves. He takes a lump of plastic explosive out of the box and rubs it between his hands to make it malleable. He sticks a strip of plastic explosive on the edge of the safe door, then takes a detonator and switch from Rahman. Hassan sticks the detonator into the plastic explosive, then primes the switch. He hands the rest of the plastic explosive to Rahman, who puts it into a paper bag. The two men synchronize their watches. Rahman shakes an aerosol paint can and sprays white Arabic writing onto the wood-panelled office walls. Peter Falk as Columbo. A case of immunity. Hassan nods to Rahman, then picks up the phone on the desk. In another office, a man wearing a pale khaki uniform and mauve Arab headdress comes over to a desk, puts down his mug and picks up the phone.
Alafa.
Yusef, please come to the executive office right away.
Is there something wrong, sir?
I'll let you be the judge of that.
The man, Yusef Alafa, chief of security, puts down the phone and walks out. In the other office, Hassan throws papers onto the floor. Rahman tips over a couple of chairs, overturns a lamp and throws an ornamental box onto the floor. Tall, burly Alafa comes into the office and looks around at all the mess.
What happened, Hassan?
As security chief, I was hoping that you could tell me, Alafa.
Alafa surveys the carnage, then sees the plastic explosive on the safe door. As he examines the safe, Rahman hands Hassan an iron bar.
Whoever did this must be working in the legation.
You're most astute, Alafa.
Hassan slams the bar down onto the back of Alafa's head and the tall man collapses. Hassan hands the bar back to Rahman and both men crouch down beside Alafa. Hassan feels for a pulse in his wrist, and Rahman feels his neck.
He's dead. All right. Let's see how you look.
Rahman stands.
Come.
Rahman pulls off his long robe, revealing dark blue trousers, a blue shirt and a plum-coloured jacket. He pulls off his headdress.
Perfect. Everything must be done with split-second precision, you understand?
Yes, sir, I'll try.
Try, Rahman. Try. A child tries. A man accomplishes. You must succeed.
I promise I will not let you down.
No, I'm sure you won't. Now remember, the explosion must follow immediately after the phone call. Do you understand? At precisely 4 o'clock.
Four.
Be certain that you are seen when you escape. It is imperative that the revolutionary Swati students be made to look responsible for the arson and theft.
Hakim's rifle.
It is jammed. It will not fire.
Hassan walks across the office and places a paper bag and a leather briefcase onto the desk.
Youssef Al-Afar was a traitor, a double agent working for the revolutionary underground, masquerading as the security chief of this legation. These papers will prove as much. And you? You, my friend, your name will be known far and wide as a hero for unmasking and disposing of this vermin.
Rachman looks down at an envelope that Hassan handed to him. Hassan leaves with the briefcase, and Rachman looks down at Alafa's body. Hassan walks down steps into a courtyard, and a guard salutes. A chauffeur opens the door of a black Cadillac limousine for him.
Los Angeles Police Department.
Guest stars Hector Elizondo, Sal Mineo, co-starring Kenneth Toby, Xenia Gratzos, and Barry Robbins as the King. The limo drives through a gateway, with Hassan sitting in the luxurious back seat. A set of metal gates opens automatically, and the Cadillac drives through. Protesters with placards stand outside the gates and yell at the Cadillac. In the back seat, Hassan looks calm and unperturbed. Columbo scuttles into a meeting chaired by Hassan.
I know. Late.
Responsibility for the king's safety.
I'm sorry. Continue, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt. Forgive me, Commissioner. I didn't mean to be late. My apologies.
I was saying that along with your official responsibility for the king's safety on this royal visit, I too, as First Secretary, have a responsibility. A personal responsibility for his safety. And that is why I have requested this meeting, Commissioner.
Yes, well, I appreciate your concern, Mr. Salah. That's the reason I have asked the various division captains to be present. Now, Captain Jameson will be in charge of riot control.
What are you doing here? I was told to report here, sir.
Captain Putman will be handling the motorcade from the airport to the legation.
Wait a minute. Captain Kalimo was supposed to be here.
And Captain
August. Got the names mixed up.
Captain August will be in charge of intelligence relative to the king's visit.
My compliments, Commissioner. Your security arrangements have obviously been well prepared and well thought out.
Yes, well, we hope so.
If you will allow me, this is an itinerary of His Majesty's visit, and I'm sure you will find it most helpful. There you are.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hassan walks around handing out itineraries to all the men present. Columbo inadvertently stands on his robe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's quite all right.
Yeah. Mr. Salah.
Thank you. Yes.
It's for you, sir.
Thank you.
Youssef Al-Afa.
There's a spot on there, sir.
No, that's all. Thank you. We'll take care of it. Thank you. Yes, that's my security chief. Youssef.
I am calling as ordered, sir. It is precisely 3:55. The time is set for 4 o'clock.
Oh, yes, 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 I see. No, I don't believe extra security.
I'll run along. Necessary. Might as well stay here now.
For the students.
Rachman made the call.
And you will be pleased to know that police arrangements are more than adequate. Yes. Yes, we should both be most grateful.
I will wait for your call.
Thank you, Youssef. Goodbye.
Mr. Salah, there's one point we haven't covered, and that's police protection inside the legation grounds.
Well, we are confident of our own security within the legation, Commissioner. This is an area that needn't concern you. Indeed, as you know, in effect, it is foreign territory.
In a lobby in the legation, a dark-haired man with a moustache was working at a desk. On hearing the bang, he stands and looks up towards the next floor. One of the security guards comes up a flight of stairs.
Did you hear anything?
Hear what?
Nothing. Nothing, I guess.
The security guard walks off and the man sits back down. Wearing dark glasses and a floppy hat, Rackman runs up a flight of stone stairs onto a stretch of concrete. He drops the iron bar and climbs into a dark brown Dodge sedan. He fires up the Dodge and drives through a gateway and down a narrow path. Outside, protesters walk round in a circle holding up placards. Rackman zooms towards a set of metal gates and crashes through, forcing the protesters to jump out of the way. A guard aims his rifle and fires at the Dodge, but the gun only clicks. A protester yells at the car.
Are you crazy?
Captain August finds Columbo in a corridor.
A Mr. Salah! Wait! Columbo. Columbo, forget it. You have just joined the Sawarian task force. Listen to me. I had a call from the legation. Robbery and murder.
Every week.
Murder?
An ambulance and police cars are parked up in the forecourt of the legation. Columbo's grey 1950s vintage Peugeot convertible pulls up, and Columbo gets out. Smoking a cigar, Columbo saunters towards a flight of stairs, but a guard blocks his way.
No one is allowed to pass.
I know, that's what the other three guards told me, but I'd like to look around. Lieutenant Columbo, homicide.
Let him pass. We seem to have a great many police roaming about the legation.
Yes, sir. They're from the arson and robbery detail, sir. We kind of specialize.
I see. And you specialize in murder?
Well, you know how it is, sir. You go where they send you.
I recognize you.
I was afraid of that. We met at the commissioner's meeting. I wasn't supposed to be there. They got the names mixed up. Happens all the time, sir.
How amusing. And how coincidental.
Do you mind if I look around?
No, go right ahead. The others are upstairs.
Police, photographers and forensics are looking around the office where Alafa was killed. Columbo looks around and a detective talks to a guard.
Now, what about this Arabic written on the wall here, huh? What does it mean? Does it have any special significance? What does it say?
Well, they're political slogans. All anti-government.
Political slogans, huh? These people are fanatics?
Yes. ME's on the way, Captain. Should be here in about 15 minutes.
Well, what about the guard downstairs?
Says he didn't see a thing.
Can you trust him?
Amangura? No, he's a very dependable man. Thought he saw something about four. Must have been the explosion, but he never left his desk.
So nobody was seen either going out or coming in, right?
No.
So that means he must have gone out the window.
It looks like.
Yeah, well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I checked downstairs. Maybe somebody saw him either coming in or going out.
They got two gates, one front, one rear, and another one by the tennis court, padlocked. He could have come over the fence, but that's risky.
If he had gone down the stairs, the security guard would have seen him.
Must have been the window then.
Well, is that reasonable? That's quite a drop.
Well, if he could get on the roof.
Oh, on the roof, yeah. Let's just figure he went out the window.
Good.
Excuse me.
I'll have the boys check it out.
That stuff on the floor that was burned, where did that come from?
The safe.
That's what I thought.
They destroyed some very valuable state documents. They kept them in there.
Thank you.
All right, let's check out in the corridor. I just want to make sure. What time did you say that that car crashed out of the gate?
4:06.
4:06, right. Excuse me. He was the chief of security?
Yes.
New man on the job?
No, he'd had 15 years of experience.
Columbo walks back to the burned papers and the guard walks away. A photographer tries to take a picture of Alafa as Columbo leans over the body.
You want to move a little?
Sorry?
You're blocking my shot.
Oh, just a second. I want to check something.
He pays close attention to Alafa's gun belt and rubs his chin thoughtfully. He then lifts Alafa's headdress and looks at the back of the man's head.
Nasty looking, huh?
What's that?
The back of his head where he got hit. What did he get hit by?
Someone set a tire iron. The guy dropped it down the driveway.
Columbo thinks, and the captain comes back with a guard.
We know the timer was set for 4:00. That we know. Now, the safe blows, the guy cleans it out, starts his little bonfire, and the car crashes out of the gate at 4:06.
That's 6 minutes. Makes sense. He could have gone out the window.
Yeah, now about the safe.
Excuse me.
What about the safe?
Well, that was $600,000 that was stolen. What was that money to be used for?
You'll have to check with the first secretary. All right.
The lobby.
Excuse me, were you here when the bomb went off?
Evidently, yes. I heard the noise around 4 o'clock.
But you didn't see anybody suspicious come down the stairs?
No, sir.
Columbo walks away from the man and ambles over to a set of double doors. He opens the doors and finds Hassan on a yellow phone and secretaries typing. Hassan lowers the phone irritably.
Sorry. I was looking for the rear door. Sorry.
Columbo closes the doors, and a guard runs over to him.
La Trouille. La Trouille. Oh,
sorry. Rear door. Hey.
He waves at the stern-faced guard and walks off. Outside, workmen are installing new gates, while the guard who tried to shoot at the Dodge patrols with his rifle.
Is this the gate the guy broke out of? Police. LAPD. You speak English?
Yes.
Were you on duty all afternoon?
I can promise you, sir, the fanatic did not enter the legation grounds by this gate.
But he got away through this gate?
Yes.
Did you get a good look at him?
Only a brief glance over my rifle sight.
Oh, you tried to shoot him?
Of course, but the gun wouldn't fire. I aimed my rifle. Nothing happened.
Uh-huh. That ever happened before?
No, never.
How often are the rifles checked?
Once a week.
I suppose you have a special room for the guns?
Of course, sir.
And who would have keys to that room?
Youssef Alafa. And, of course, the first secretary.
Thank you.
Columbo runs his thumb across his lips and walks away. Later, Columbo's searching Alafa's desk as a young, dark-haired member of staff comes in.
May I help you, sir?
I'm not sure. Lieutenant Columbo, Police Department, I'm looking for a key.
What sort of key, sir?
The key to the gun room where you keep the rifles for the guards.
Youssef Alafa always kept it locked, in there.
She points to a cabinet.
That's the key to the gun room.
What about the key to this padlock?
Oh, Youssef, Mr. Alafa kept it on his person.
She picks up the mug.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Just a second.
Columbo looks closely at the mug.
Excuse me. It's cold and full. Never got a chance to drink it.
I gave Youssef this mug. You see the inscription here.
What does it say?
I'd rather not translate, Lieutenant. It's, earthy humor.
Oh.
Each afternoon, Youssef would join our coffee break and tell us unrepeatable stories. It was his way, and we loved him very much.
I'm sure you did, ma'am.
She turns to go.
Excuse me. What time were those coffee breaks?
3 o'clock, perhaps a few minutes before or after.
Thank you very much.
He ponders.
This is a beautiful piece. You know, we have one just like this back on the dining room table in our house. Almost the same design.
This is third century. It's worth several $1,000s.
No kidding. Yeah, I think my wife got ours at the farmer's market. Well, I guess ours is just a copy. This is beautiful, too. The box. This must be worth a fortune.
Is there something in particular you wanted to talk to me about, Lieutenant Columbo?
Columbo, yes.
Yes.
It's a delicate matter, sir.
Concerning what?
The crime, the murder, and the theft.
And what about it?
I'd like to start from the beginning, if you don't mind. I like to work with questions. I write myself out these questions.
He reads.
Why did the security man enter the office?
I assume he heard the explosion and ran to see what happened.
If he heard the explosion and ran in to see what happened, why didn't he take out his gun?
Where was the gun?
In his holster, sir. He never even undid the flap.
So what does that mean?
It means when he entered the office, he couldn't have been alarmed. Otherwise, he would have taken out the gun. So I figure that he entered the office before the explosion.
I see. That's very interesting. He entered the office before the explosion. So where does that lead you?
Back to the first question, sir. Why did the security man enter the office?
For a number of reasons. He could have been making his rounds. He could have been looking for something.
In which case, he would have caught the criminal off guard. True?
True. The criminal would have been caught by surprise, yes.
That's the problem, sir. You see, it was the security man that was surprised, not the criminal. You see, the security man got hit on the back of the head, and there was no sign of struggle. The body was right out there in the middle of the room. How does an experienced security man surprise a criminal in the middle of his crime and allow himself to get hit in the back of the head?
Do you have the answer?
That's what's delicate, sir.
Oh, please, go on. This is very important to me.
A security man could only get hit by someone who didn't alarm him. Someone that he knew and trusted, someone who could catch him off guard.
People come through.
Perhaps we could talk out here.
Columbo's trodden on Hassan's robe again.
I'm sorry, sir.
They leave the room of ancient treasures and go out to the spectacular gardens.
Magnificent grounds. What a backyard. Beautiful, sir. I've never seen flowers like this in my life.
We come from an arid country, and gardens are a rare luxury. But you were saying that the security man, Mr. Alafa, was murdered by someone he knew and trusted.
Mr. Sala, I have made a discovery that you are going to find emotionally disturbing. I want you to be prepared for that.
Well, thank you. I'm prepared. Go on.
Nobody from the outside came in and committed this crime. It was all done from within.
Why do you say that?
It's an inside job, sir.
Yes, Lieutenant, I heard you the first time, but on what do you base that conclusion?
Whoever did this knew the combination. That's not a student, sir.
Now, what do you mean, knew the combination? On what do you base that conclusion? Now, how can you say that? Answer with facts, sir.
The plaster powder from the ceiling, sir. The explosion caused plaster powder to come raining down from the ceiling. Small little particles of dust. And some of them fell on top of the ashes of the documents that had been removed from the safe. So obviously, sir, the documents had to be removed and burned prior to the explosion, otherwise there wouldn't have been any powder on top of them.
Hassan nods.
Excellent observation. So the safe was opened by someone who knew the combination, and you're suggesting that it was someone who works for the legation. That is very disturbing. But nevertheless, facts are facts. How can I help you, Lieutenant?
If I could look at the personnel file, sir.
Of course. In my office?
In his office, Hassan opens a filing cabinet.
This is a complete list of all personnel assigned to the legation. You may question whomever you choose.
Actually, sir, I took the liberty earlier of finding out who's here and who isn't. I can account for everybody at the time of the murder except for this fellow. How do you pronounce his name?
Rahman Habib. He's a code clerk, Lieutenant. He's a very good man.
When did he go on vacation?
Well, yesterday, I believe. He's visiting New York City.
Would you know where he's staying?
Yes, the Kimberly Park Hotel. I'll check the memo.
Would this Rahman Habib have access to the safe?
No. Only Youssef Alafa and myself knew the combination.
But he could have picked up the combination. Maybe watched somebody open the safe.
And so could have a dozen other legation employees, Lieutenant.
But none of the others left on vacation, sir.
Rahman Habib has been a trusted employee of this legation for almost 11 years. I cannot believe he could be involved in such crimes.
This picture is not going to help the situation, sir.
What do you mean?
Several of the picketers outside the legation saw the man who crashed through the gate. Their description could match this photo of Habib.
Hassan stares at Columbo, then closes the drawer, walks over to his desk, and picks up the telephone.
Place a call to New York immediately. The Kimberly Park Hotel.
I can appreciate your feelings, sir. The fact is, he doesn't look like much of a murderer. You know, after 15 years in this business, I can still look at a person sometimes and say to myself, he can't be the murderer.
And are you often right?
Oh, 20% or so, if that. Not too many times.
Yes, thank you.
Hassan gives the phone to Columbo.
Kimberly Park Hotel. This is Lieutenant Columbo of the Los Angeles Police Department. I'm checking on the whereabouts of a Rahman Habib. What? I see. Thank you. He made the reservation, all right. but he never checked in.
Columbo watches Hassan, who stares into space. Later, alone in his office, Hassan makes a phone call. Rachman lies on a bed in a hotel room. He crushes out his cigarette and stands up. He walks over to the phone and hesitates before lifting the receiver.
Yes.
Habib, are you all right?
You were supposed to call me last night.
It was impossible. The police have been everywhere.
The newspapers mentioned some missing money. Sir, there was no money, as you well know.
Rachman, do not concern yourself with American newspaper reporters. The plan is working perfectly. Arrangements have been made for the flight. I shall meet you in 1 hour.
The rendezvous we agreed on.
Yes, yes, yes. Remember, Habib, 1 hour.
Rachman slowly puts the phone down and slides a glasses case into his shirt pocket. Hassan makes another call.
Hassan Salah speaking. I shall be retiring to my quarters now. Please see to it that I am not disturbed. Thank you.
Wearing a Western-style suit and tie, Hassan walks down a flight of stone steps and strides across a pathway. He crouches by some bushes and opens a secret door. He looks around furtively before creeping through the secret door, which closes behind him. Hassan walks across a parking area and gets into the driver's seat of a long black Cadillac. He drives away. Rachman stands waiting beside his car on a quiet, dark mountain road and looks up as the Cadillac arrives. Hassan gets out of the Cadillac.
Salah.
Rachman runs over to him.
Calmly, calmly, my dear friend. Now, panic can only bring on fear and defeat in this life. Did you bring the papers?
Yes.
He takes an envelope from his car.
Good. Here is your new passport. Your ticket to Bern. And...
He takes a wad of cash from his pocket.
$10,000.
$10,000?
A job well done should not be casually rewarded.
I don't know what to say. You know, sir, all these years working as a code clerk, I never dreamed I'd be involved in matters of such significance.
Let me assure you, Habib, within days your name will be shouted loud in the streets of Swati. It is a promise. Now come, come, come.
Rachman turns to get into his car, and Hassan clubs him across the back of the head. Hassan moves Rachman into a slumped-over driving position and slams the car door. He looks down at Rachman's unconscious face and thinks carefully. He opens the door again and feels Rachman's pockets, finding his wire-rimmed glasses. He opens the glasses up and slides them onto Rachman's face. He takes out Rachman's wallet and reads his driving license by torchlight. At the bottom, under restrictions, it states, "Must wear glasses." He puts the wallet back into Rachman's pocket, then closes the door. He sets about pushing the car. It rolls off the road and tumbles down a cliff, flipping over and over and landing mangled on another road below. Hassan stares down coldly at the battered car.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Is that him?
Is that who?
Habib.
I don't know. I just got here myself. Amir Faisan.
His name was Habib. He was carrying a phony passport. Where are his personal effects?
Well, that's his stuff over there.
Time of death?
Let's see. Eddie did a preliminary workup on this guy before he had to leave. Time of death between 8:30 and 10:30.
Is that the best you can do?
Give me an eyewitness and I'll do better.
Columbo looks at the money, wallet and glasses.
What is that, Doc? Bits of broken glass there?
Bits of broken glass. Let's see what I've got here.
Gee, that doesn't look like broken glass to me.
Columbo looks closely at tiny pieces of glass on the table, then looks up thoughtfully. At the legation, Columbo, holding a large envelope, steps into the room containing ancient Middle Eastern artifacts. He smiles and looks at a selection of vases, then goes to another table and picks up a jug. Hassan steps in and watches Columbo, who puts the jug back down.
Valuable. It's worth a great deal of money, Lieutenant.
Speaking of money, sir, we're holding the $10,000 down at headquarters for a few days. In the meantime, I thought you might as well have these back.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant.
He takes the envelope, inside another envelope still sealed.
You did not inspect the contents of this envelope?
No, sir.
It is well. I can tell you, Lieutenant, in strictest confidence, of course. This envelope contains certain material, which, in the wrong hands, could lead to the overthrow of my king.
Wow.
Yes, your suspicions were all too accurate, Lieutenant. Rahman Habib was not only a thief, but a traitor as well. Well, the problem now is locating the balance of the $600,000.
Well, that's not the only question, sir. There's something else that I've been wondering about.
Columbo leans on a stand which tilts over, almost spilling a large urn.
Perhaps we'd better speak in my office, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Hassan leads the way into his office, and Columbo follows.
You were saying, Lieutenant?
I was about to mention the $10,000.
What of it?
Well, I have to verify, sir, whether this money actually came from the safe in the legation.
I see. You think perhaps Rahman saved it up on a code clerk's salary. Now, really, Lieutenant.
Well, sir, the bills were not new and they were not sequential.
Lieutenant Columbo, there is a very simple method of determining the origins of the $10,000 on Habib's body.
Hassan unlocks a filing cabinet, opens it and takes out a wad of cash.
If the money were intact, it would have, a wrapper similar to this one. Similarly, the stamp on the wrapper would also be the same, since all our banking is handled by one bank, International Trust.
Come to think of it, sir, there was a piece of paper just like this wrapped around the $10,000. That's a good suggestion. I should have thought of it myself. Do you think, sir, I could have this wrapper to compare with the other one?
Hassan slides the wrapper off for him.
Will there be anything else, Lieutenant?
I don't want to take up any more of your time, sir. There is something else, but I don't know where all that leads to just yet, so I'll just wander around. Thank you very, very much, sir.
Columbo heads for the door.
Lieutenant Columbo. Please do not feel that you're imposing. I am a busy man, it's true, but as first secretary of the legation, I feel I have a certain responsibility.
Well, actually, sir, it was the glasses.
The glasses?
Yes, sir, Mr. Habib's eyeglasses. He was wearing these when the police found them.
Well, that's hardly a revelation, Lieutenant. Habib was virtually helpless without them.
Columbo takes a small paper packet from his pocket and looks around as though distracted. He comes over to Hassan's desk.
But as it turns out, sir, he was also wearing these.
What are they?
Contact lenses.
He's tipped them out.
And the fellows at the lab tell me that anybody wearing both these prescriptions at the same time be blind as a bat.
I was not aware that Rahman wore contact lenses.
Oh, I didn't think he were, sir. This was found in his wallet. An optometrist's business card.
The prescription for the contact lenses was written on the back. He'd only been wearing them a week. His regular glasses he kept in his pocket as a backup until he got used to the contact lenses.
I see. Then you suspect...
murder. That's right, sir. Somebody had to place these glasses on Habib's body.
That's incredible. Well, obviously, he was killed by the same revolutionary students who put him up to robbing the safe and murdering Yusef Falafa.
That same thought occurred to me, sir, but I couldn't figure out why they would do it.
Self-preservation, I would imagine. Once Habib was apprehended, he could identify those who conspired with him.
You may have something there, sir. I have to ask some questions here and there, but I don't want to take up any more of your time. I'll just wander around. You've been very helpful.
Don't mention it, Lieutenant.
Columbo smiles and gives him a wave, then walks out, pinching his forehead pensively. Hassan stares after him. The senior security guard shows Columbo into an office.
The passport and the other documents were taken from this cabinet, Lieutenant, except that everybody had access to it.
So Rahman Habib could have taken the passport.
I thought there was no question of that.
Well, that's the way it looks right now, Mr. Kura. By the way, now that you're the acting security chief, I guess you keep the records of the comings and goings of legation personnel. Where was Mr. Sala last night between 8:30 and 10:30?
Mr. Sala?
Oh, it's all right. It's just a technicality, technical verification for the department.
Well, let me take a look.
Kura opens a filing cabinet, takes out a folder, and opens it.
Mr. Sala was in his quarters last evening.
Never left the legation?
No, sir.
Thank you very much. You've been very helpful. If that's all right, I'll be able to find my own way. I think.
Columbo ambles out. Wearing his long, shabby raincoat, with his hands in the pockets of his baggy trousers, Columbo walks through the automatic gates and finds himself among the protesters, walking round and round in a circle.
Where's your sign?
Oh, I don't have one.
Here. This? You new?
Well, I never did this before in my life.
Well, we're glad to have you. We can use all the help we can get.
You pick it a line.
Every day after classes.
So you must have been here the other day when all the action happened.
Oh, you mean the car crashing through the gate?
You saw it?
See it. I almost went along for the ride. Crazy person drove right at me.
You didn't happen to be picketing here last night, were you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Listen, you didn't notice a car come through the gate here between like 8 or 9 o'clock?
No way. It was dead here. Nobody in, nobody out, nothing. Why the big interest?
I'm fuzz.
That's cool.
Columbo shambles away from the protest.
Hey, my sign!
Columbo gives the young man his sign back.
Down with that sign.
Well-dressed people are milling around and chatting in a corridor as Columbo shuffles through, clutching the lapels of his rumpled raincoat. He nods to a security guard and steps into a grand hall where dignitaries are meeting and greeting. The IPs stand in a line and Hassan introduces them to a slightly built young man wearing a military-style uniform.
Assalamu alaikum. Afghana, the Minister of Ghana, Your Majesty. Ambassador of India, Your Majesty.
Columbo joins the line and shuffles along.
The attaché from France.
Hassan sees Columbo approaching and looks bewildered.
Excuse me. Lieutenant, please. Now, you have chosen a rather awkward moment to visit, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir, I realize that, but it was very important that I talk to you. Say, I was wondering if it wasn't be too much trouble. Could I meet the king?
This is His Majesty, Lieutenant.
I realize that this is not protocol, sir, but
I would like to extend my personal welcome to the city.
Your Majesty, may I present Lieutenant Colombo of the Los Angeles Police Department. Lieutenant, this is His Majesty King Ahmad Kamal of Swari.
How nice to meet you, Lieutenant, and very gracious of you to come.
Well, actually, sir, I'm on duty.
Are you in charge of security arrangements, Lieutenant? I know I'm something of a bother.
Oh, no, you're no bother at all, sir. I don't get to meet too many kings in my job. Actually, sir, I'm with Homicide.
Homicide? That is exciting. The real thing, not what we see on your American TV shows, huh? This murder of Youssef Al-Afa, Lieutenant, was very tragic. I knew the man very well.
Sir, in that regard, I realize you're a very busy man.
Excellency, the ministers are awaiting your presence in the reception room. If I may be of service to the lieutenant?
Yes, of course. Lieutenant, please call on me if I may be of any service to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
He will wait in the sitting room, Lieutenant. 1,000 pardons, Your Majesty, but the man is a simple man, the lieutenant, and he's not used to our ways.
Yeah, but I like him, Hassan. You say our ways, but you mean your ways.
The ways of your father and his father before him.
There is a place for tradition, Hassan, but we must learn to live in this world as neighbors. We cannot be blind to the changes happening all around us.
I understand, Your Majesty.
Hassan shows the king into a room, and Colombo gives Hassan a no-problem kind of wave as he walks back down the corridor. Colombo walks past two men wearing military uniforms and talking. He sees a waiter walk in with a tray of food and heads out through the doorway the waiter came in through. Colombo opens a door and enters the kitchen. Staff bustle around him and he has a close look at the food.
Scusa.
Colombo peers at a table covered with cakes. The woman he met in Alafa's office comes in with a tray.
Lieutenant Colombo. Lieutenant. Hello.
Hello. We meet again.
I've been looking for you. His Majesty thought you might like something while you're waiting.
She gives him the tray.
His Majesty himself?
Yes.
Well, that's very thoughtful for a busy man. Imagine that.
Say, Liz.
You sure it was His Majesty, not just an aide?
Yes. Hmm?
He tries some cake.
Oh, it's very good. Is this a Swarian delicacy?
No, I'm afraid not. It's from the bakery around the corner.
Well, wherever it's from, it's very good. I'm going to have to be frank with you. I'm starved. I forgot to eat.
Well, if you're hungry, we have to feed you. Come.
He follows her.
Rahman often did that, too.
He did what, ma'am?
I forgot to eat.
Oh, you work with him?
Yes, in the cold room.
The cold room? Oh, maybe you can help me. On Wednesday, before he escaped from a legation, I understand that he worked in the cold room. That was the 23rd?
Wednesday the 23rd. Yes, I remember, Wednesday. We were all there, five of us, until well past 4 o'clock.
Do you happen to remember, did he use the phone around 2:30?
Lieutenant, there is no telephone in the code room.
But I saw Mr. Sally use one, the yellow one on the wall.
Oh, no, no. That's the tie line to the embassy in Washington. There is no outside telephone line for security reasons. We're sort of prisoners in there.
Oh, I see. That smells like beef. Is that beef?
I don't know.
I think it's beef.
He goes over to the stove.
That's beef. Taste.
Lieutenant.
Khali. Khali.
You mustn't touch anything. What are you doing here?
Hassan comes over.
Lieutenant.
Mr. Salah, I'm sorry. I'm in the way here.
No, it's quite all right. Would you like some of this? It is prepared expressly for the king.
Oh, I couldn't eat the king's food.
Ah, but you are a guest, Lieutenant, and His Majesty is a gracious host. Please, here, you must try some of this. Please.
I didn't realize that this was the king's food.
The chef gives him a small dish.
Thank you very much.
Colombo tries a forkful of the food and smiles at Hassan.
Delicious.
Thank you.
I guess I forgot how hungry I was.
It
It's a pleasure.
Oh, by the way, I checked out the wrapper. You know, the one that was wrapped around the $10,000 that we found on Mr. Habib.
Yes, I remember, Lieutenant. Wouldn't you be more comfortable sitting down? Kursi, Zina, Shukar.
Lieutenant, would you excuse me, please?
One of the security guards brings a chair for Colombo.
Thank you very much. Anyway, it turns out that Mr. Habib's $10,000 didn't come from your safe after all.
Now, you must be mistaken, Lieutenant. Where would a minor clerk like Rahman Habib get $10,000? Unless it was from the robbery.
Well, I couldn't figure that out either, but there is no mistaking about the money that this wrapper was holding together. You can see by the mark. This is delicious. Best I've ever tasted. Of course, the fact is I've never tasted Swarian food before.
Oh, you still have not. His Majesty prefers French cuisine. Those are petite escargots.
Escargot?
Yes. Snails.
Colombo has a close look into the dish.
But you mentioned a mark.
Yes, sir. You see, this is a bank teller's mark. Now, the thing about this, sir, is that the teller that handled this particular transaction, he was working in another branch until the day after the robbery. Do you follow my meaning? In other words, how could this money be in the safe if it wasn't even handed out from the bank until the day following the robbery?
I call Vert Bordelaise.
Oh.
The chef gives him another dish.
Well, it looks like green beans.
In a special sauce.
Oh, thank you. You know what I think, sir? I think Mr. Habib was an innocent victim. I really think that somebody planted that $10,000 on him to make him look guilty and then killed him.
Now, that's quite a jump, Lieutenant. For example, how do you explain the fact that Habib made a hotel reservation in New York, which he obviously never intended to keep?
Oh, Mr. Habib never made that reservation.
Ah, but the reservation was made. We telephoned New York.
Yes, sir, but Mr. Habib couldn't have made that reservation. Here, take a look at this telex. This is a telex. 2:30, Wednesday the 23rd. That was when the reservation was made. On 2:30 of that day, Mr. Habib was locked in the code room. I checked on that. So Mr. Habib could not have made this reservation.
I see. Do you have any idea who this other person could be?
No, not really. But I did find out something very interesting when I went to the bank.
What was that?
That teller remembered that a great deal of money was withdrawn from the Surian account on that day.
By me, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
Would you mind coming into my office?
Not at all.
Thank you.
Colombo folds up the telex, stands up and heads out, pausing to turn back to the chef.
Thank you very much.
The chef nods and Hassan gestures Colombo out of the kitchen. Hassan walks into his office, followed by Colombo. He unlocks a filing cabinet and takes out a large envelope.
I assume this is the money you're talking about, Lieutenant. If you'll notice, there is a withdrawal slip attached, and if you care to check further, you will see that this money, intact to the very last dollar, has been designated to cover the king's expenses during his visit.
Colombo nods.
Now, if you're quite finished with your insinuations, I must attend the king.
Sir, I was not making any personal insinuations. All I'm saying is that somebody here at the legation robbed the safe, killed Mr. Amaf, and tried to pin it on Mr. Habib. What I would really like now, sir, is to be able to speak to some of the other people at the legation. Because with Mr. Habib out of the running, I feel I have a big job in front of me.
At the moment, Lieutenant, I too have a big job facing me.
I see what you mean, sir. Yes, you are quite right. This would be a very bad time to upset everybody, what with the king receiving all those diplomats. Why don't I come back another time?
Now that is most tactful of you, Lieutenant.
Hassan opens the door and Colombo walks out. Hassan steps out behind him.
You want to see me?
Come in, Lieutenant. Denny Colombo, Mr. Kermit Morgan of the State Department.
How do you do,
Lieutenant?
Mr. Morgan is with the Protocol Department, Colombo. There's been a complaint lodged against you by the Swearian Legation.
A complaint of police harassment by First Secretary Hassan Salah. The feeling expressed to me is that you've been indulging in a personal vendetta.
Well, there's no vendetta involved here. Just trying to catch a man who murdered two Syrian nationals along with robbing the legation of $600,000.
Yes, I'm sure, but you're working in delicate and apparently unfamiliar waters, Lieutenant. You can't push around diplomatic personnel the way you would common criminals in the street.
Mr. Morgan,
it is in the best interest of our government if there are no further contacts between yourself and Secretary Salah.
Well, that's all very well and good, except for one thing.
What is that, Lieutenant?
He's the murderer.
Morgan and August look astounded.
You have definite proof as to his guilt?
Well, not exactly.
Well, I know one thing, Colombo. You don't have a thing on Salah for that first murder. I mean, he was right here in the commissioner's office when it happened. You and I, we were both witnesses to that fact.
That's true, sir.
Then it's the second murder you're talking about.
Yes. And no. I mean, look, it is true that according to the records of the Syrian legation, Mr. Salah was in his private headquarters at the time that Ramin Habib got killed.
In other words, Hassan Salah has ironclad alibis for both murders.
I know it looks that way.
Let me tell you something, Lieutenant. Now, it may go against your grain, but it's reality, right from the State Department. And we don't care if Salah is guilty or innocent. We do care about our country's relations. Now, under the circumstances, let me strongly suggest that a letter of apology be drafted by Lieutenant Colombo and sent with all due speed to the Swarian legation.
Even if he's guilty?
Lieutenant, please understand, we do not condone murder. But we're in the midst of difficult negotiations with the Kingdom of Swari. Your speculative investigation could undo months of delicate negotiating. You understand?
Yes, sir. We all have our job to do. So I'm going to write that letter. And not only that, I am going to personally deliver this personal apology on behalf of myself and the department.
That's excellent. I like a man who espouses the pragmatic view, Lieutenant. Thank you, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Morgan leaves.
What did he say?
Don't make waves.
Colombo walks towards the legation, wearing a smart black dinner suit and bow tie, plus his crumpled Mac. He talks to the protester.
What does it mean?
What mean? What
they're saying?
Means long live the king.
I thought they were against the king.
Against the king? No, the king's young. He's progressive, but he's new to the throne, see? He doesn't realize how reactionary and tyrannical some of his government ministers are. But he will, because we'll get through to him.
A scuffle breaks out as a black limousine drives through the main gates. Colombo takes his opportunity and sneaks in. He walks past a security guard standing beside a black limo.
Say, that's a beautiful car. That's fit for a king.
Is this the king's motor car?
No? Must be Mr. Salah's car. No.
Which one is his car?
None of them. His car in garage for repair.
I see. What garage did you say that was?
The city garage. Two blocks down. They do all the repair work.
That's a honey.
Colombo taps the elegant Mercedes limo and walks off, following a group of well-dressed people who are climbing a flight of stone steps. Colombo heads into a function room, but a guard stops him.
Yes, sir. May I see your invitation?
Actually, I don't have any. Police, LAPD.
Lieutenant.
Police.
Good evening.
Oh, Mr. Kuro, do you think you could talk to this gentleman about letting me in?
Nothing personal, Lieutenant, but I presume you're properly attired.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think this is good. My wife said something about striped pants, but I thought that was too much. This is good. It's a little big. It's my brother-in-law's. He's a waiter, but I don't see anybody else in striped pants.
Zena. Would you kindly escort Lieutenant to the gathering, please?
Yes, I'd be delighted. Shall we, Lieutenant?
Would you take off your coat?
A valet helps Columbo off with his Mac.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Holding his coat over his arm, Columbo walks out into the legation grounds with Xena. A large garden party is taking place.
So far, I didn't see one pair of striped pants.
I beg your pardon?
No, it's not.
I think that's in England. She must have seen it in the movies.
Who?
My wife, she insisted I wear striped pants.
Oh.
It's a good thing I didn't. I'd be the only one here. Where's the king?
Oh, he's here.
You know, it looks good, those robes. You think they look good, I mean, for a man?
Yes, I do.
Dignity. What do they cost?
I'm afraid I don't know.
How come the king doesn't wear one? It's not because you can't afford it, I know that.
You seem to be interested in clothes.
Shoes. These are new, $16.95.
They come to a table and she gives him a drink.
Something to drink, Lieutenant?
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Lieutenant, may I present Ambassador and Mrs. Mao Ling, the People's Republic of China.
How do you do?
Xena, Dali Hun in Republic.
Would you excuse me, please? I'm afraid I have something to attend to. Lieutenant.
This is a marvelous party.
Xena goes, leaving Columbo with the ambassador.
Tell me, sir, is there something funny about the champagne?
Champagne? The taste is very odd. Indeed. This is not champagne, young man. This is fruit punch. The Savarian people do not drink alcoholic beverage.
Oh, what a pity.
This is a magnificent job of decoration they get.
They look at a table of artifacts.
3rd century.
Indeed.
Extraordinary. Beautiful.
Smiling Columbo saunters off with his glass of punch. He looks around at a guest wearing an African-style gown. Columbo makes his way through a crowd to the king, who stands chatting near Hassan. Hassan sees Columbo and tries to block him.
Hey, Flip! It's quite all right here.
Columbo raises his glass to the king.
Yahil Malik.
Long live the king!
Lieutenant Columbo, how delightful to see you again, and how gracious of you to come.
Thank you very much.
You're not expecting a murder, I hope.
Not today, knock on wood.
Salah, I commend you on your choice of guests.
Your servant.
Your Majesty.
Pardon me. Ambassador, how are you?
Just fine, sir. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Your presence here is a diplomatic affront. If you do not leave the legation in 5 minutes, I shall see that you are removed from the Los Angeles Police Department.
I've solved the murder, sir.
What?
I think we should talk about it right away.
All right. Follow me.
Hassan walks away from the crowd, and Columbo follows him. Hassan leads Columbo into a small, quiet courtyard beside a decorative arch.
A cigar, sir?
No, thank you. You were saying something about having solved the murders, Lieutenant.
I have a note.
Columbo reads from his notebook.
The safe was opened prior to its being blown. Mr. Salah knew the combination. The guard's rifle jammed. Mr. Salah had the access to the gun room. Yes. I want you to know that I know that you couldn't have killed both those men and robbed the safe all by yourself.
What do you mean, all by myself?
What I mean, sir, is that you planned and executed the robbery with somebody else's help, Rahman Habib.
Hassan calmly sits down on a wall.
That is ridiculous.
No, it isn't. Not only did you rob the safe, but you killed Yosef Al-Afa and Rahman Habib.
That is a ludicrous accusation, Lieutenant. You seem to have forgotten that I was in the commissioner's office with you at the time Al-Afa was killed.
Mr. Al-Afa was dead before you left the legation. He was killed before you got to the police commissioner's office.
That is impossible, Lieutenant. I spoke to him on the telephone at 4:05. You were there. He called me at the commissioner's office.
No, he didn't. Prior to the safes being blown, which occurred at 4:00,
We know that somebody in the executive office opened the safe and was taking out money and running around the place burning up documents. Now, how could a security man call you on the telephone and calmly report to you at the same time that the safe was being looted?
Well, it's really very simple, Lieutenant. Mr. Alafa was not in the executive office where the safe was. He telephoned me from his office.
How do you know?
He told me on the telephone.
I think you're lying.
Hassan's expression becomes cold, and he stands up.
You're entitled to your opinion.
I don't believe he called you from his office because of a coffee cup.
A cup of coffee?
It was still on the desk, filled with cold coffee.
I fail to see the point.
He brought the coffee into his office at 3:15 and never drank it. Why? Because he was called away and he never came back. That filled cup of cold coffee tells me that he could not have been in his office at the time of the telephone call. I'll tell you what happened.
Please do.
At 3:15, you called him into the executive office and you murdered him. He was dead before you left the legation. At 4:05, you staged this phony telephone conversation with this Habib guy, and that provided you with an alibi.
You're a zealous man, Lieutenant, but you seem to be ignoring the reality of the situation. You haven't a single shred of evidence against me.
He turns and calls to a couple of guards.
Halastal!
They come over.
At 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, our King Ahmed Kamal leaves for our capital in Swati. The moment that he leaves, Lieutenant, I shall initiate a formal protest to your government regarding this insulting and groundless accusation. Lieutenant Colombo is in violation of Swadian territory. Uskubra!
The guards drag Colombo away.
Oh, sir, just one thing I forgot. One more thing, sir.
What is it?
He holds out an envelope.
My official apology.
Hassan takes the envelope, and the guards manhandle Colombo away. Guests look on in bewilderment as Colombo is forcefully escorted off the premises. A couple of police escort riders lead two black limousines onto the tarmac of an airport. The king gets out of the back of the first limo, followed by Hassan. They walk towards a small private plane.
Safe journey, Your Majesty. May Allah protect you.
You were a most gracious host, Hassan.
The king shakes his hand.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Kura steps up beside Hassan.
There's something of the father and the son, Hassan.
There's something of the father in many of us, Hajj. But the throne makes the man, not the blood.
Hassan walks back to the limousine, and a chauffeur opens the door for him. He pauses at the car door and looks back at the jet as it taxis along the tarmac and prepares for takeoff. Hassan gets into the car. Colombo sits on the concrete by the main gates of the legation while two guards chat to each other. Colombo eats a sandwich out of a paper bag, then scrambles to his feet as the black limousine approaches. He blocks the driveway, waving the car to stop, then walks round to Hassan in the back seat.
You are persistent, Lieutenant.
They won't let me in, sir. They say I'm a person not...
Persona non grata. You are not welcome. On my orders.
Yes, sir. About that, I got to thinking about what you said about lodging a protest to my government about me. You see, sir, I was only doing my job. If you could give me 3 minutes, I would like to apologize. You see, sir, I could get fired.
Hassan thinks with a faint smile.
Kali Yumruk,
Nam Ya Rais.
You may pass.
The gates open and the car drives on.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Another black limousine follows Hassan's car and Colombo jogs through the gates behind them. In his office, Hassan sips a cup of tea as Colombo finally arrives.
I must say, sir, this is very nice of you.
Nonsense. But you were saying you're apprehensive about your employment. Is that it?
I beg you not to send a letter to the State Department. I apologize, but more than anything else, sir, I want to shake your hand. You're the best.
Hassan shakes his hand.
To what do I owe this tribute?
You beat me. That's it. I got beat, plain and simple.
True.
I know you did it, but... well, you can't win them all, sir.
You're very gracious, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
But let's face it, you never did have much of a case.
No, mostly it was circumstantial, I agree. Even the car being moved.
Moved?
Listen, I don't want to get into the whole thing because even if I could prove it, I couldn't touch you.
No.
It's because of the diplomatic immunity.
You could, but it would be difficult. Won't you have some tea, please?
About the letter to the State Department, sir.
Oh, triviality. Consider it forgotten. But please, you were talking about the car.
Yes, sir. You have the legation staff car serviced at a gasoline station 3 blocks from here. I checked on that. The mechanic noticed that the car was moved the other night. That's how you were able to get to Canyon Road to meet Habib and kill him.
Did I?
I confirmed that this morning. They changed the oil late in the day, and the mileage was noted. But the next morning, there were 34 additional miles.
Amazing.
So I drove my own car from the gasoline station to the point that Habib had been killed and back to the gasoline station. It measured 34 miles.
Lieutenant, my compliments. Your persistence is simply not to be believed. Picking and scratching until you have finally uncovered the mosaic. Mubarak.
Cheers. It wasn't easy. I gotta hand you that. One thing I don't understand, sir. Why did you do it?
Well, the struggle for power within my country is none of your concern, Lieutenant. Your business is murder. And as you said, this is one murder that must remain one of your failures. But do not despair, Lieutenant. Do not despair. You have unraveled the puzzle. Accept it and let it be.
He gives Columbo a large cigar.
I got the feeling that you wouldn't be so expansive, you wouldn't be so quick to admit all this if you didn't have diplomatic immunity.
Perhaps so, Lieutenant, but the fact is I do have diplomatic immunity.
Quite so, Hassan Salah.
The king and guards come in.
Yes, Hassan. You saw the aircraft depart, huh? But it departed without me at the suggestion of my friend, Lieutenant Columbo. A helicopter brought me back here ahead of you. By tomorrow, Salah, you will be in Sawari and subject to Sawarian justice.
You wanted to arrest me earlier, Lieutenant. I hereby renounce my diplomatic immunity. I submit to your arrest.
Well, I would like to, but, it's like you said to the fellow from the State Department, sir, this is an international thing. I don't want to make waves. Maybe justice would be better served back in Sawari.
He turns to the king.
Thank you very much, sir. Nice meeting you.
Likewise, Lieutenant.
This is not justice. This is barbarism. Lieutenant!
Columbo looks back at Hassan.
I beg you.
The trouble, sir, is that you're right, that it's all the evidence is circumstantial. It's just bits and pieces. I don't think any of it is going to stand up in court.
A confession. If I signed a confession.
Well, I'm not sure. Your Majesty?
The king ponders.
I shall abide by your decision, Lieutenant.
Well, in that case, just signed by the Red X, sir. 3 copies, if you don't mind.
Hassan steps over to Columbo.
You want to read it?
I'm sure I know what it says, Lieutenant.
He eagerly signs the confessions while the king looks on.
I am your prisoner.
Officer! Hassan, a word of warning. Should you decide to repudiate your confession, we shall be waiting to welcome you home.
Hassan looks across at Columbo, then bows his head. Columbo bows back and Hassan is escorted out. Columbo nods to himself, then looks over at the king, who gives him a thumbs up. Columbo waves nonchalantly. ITFC audio description.